Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, architecture and engineering for the new frontier. Welcome to Alaska Live. I'm your host, Lori Neufeld, and it is my pleasure to introduce the first band from Fairbanks Concert Association's Feb Fest. It is Sirius String Quartet, and you are in for such a treat. They are classical and beyond. Sirius String Quartet, what do you have for us to start out with?
Well, thanks for having us. It's great to be here. We had a blast playing last night, and we're looking forward to the next few days. We are going to start off with an arrangement that our violinist Gregor Hubner wrote of the Beatles tune Eleanor Rigby.
Right on.
Thank you.
Serious String Quartet here on KUAC's Alaska Live. You can see them tonight with the Party at the Park. That's Party at Pioneer Park. And I have never seen a gig set like this, but it is so cool. Fairbanks Concert Association has FebFest. And you guys are going to be at the Palace at 7 for some jazz improv. And then there's going to be more free-form improv at the Chapel at Pioneer Park. And then we go back to the Palace to see more Future Man, Silver Man, part of FebFest. And then something really extra special. The community is invited to come and do improv with you. Serious String Quartet, Seven Sons, and Future Man and Silver Man all together. The community is invited to come jam. That is so cool. Jeremy, you're there at the mic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an awesome night. I think it's
going to be a little bit of an experiment. Yeah, we've got three groups here, obviously us. We've got Seven Sons and Future Man Silver Man. And we're going to do kind of like a mashup of sorts tonight where we're going to kind of mix members of the different ensembles. And so it's going to be a lot, yeah, kind of a lot of free improvisation where we're not going to really plan what we're going to do and just kind of see where the night takes us. But yeah, I think the plan is that we're going to kind of divide the evening into three different sets of improvised music. One being maybe a little bit more jazz influenced, one being a little bit more sort of like metal rock influenced, the other being kind of just like a total free for all. Although when you're doing free, you know, when you're improvising freely,
it is a free for all.
You don't want to put, you know, too many boundaries up or try to dictate it too much. So.
And so people can get a sense of what this improv thing for you guys means by going and getting inspiration at the Pioneer Park Saloon and the Chapel and back to the saloon and then go to the Civic Center and be a part of it, whether that's dancing, painting, with an instrument, with your voice. You're going to lead it as these FebFest folks, and you're going to lead it in a direction, but you just don't know where that direction is going to
take. Absolutely, yeah, which is part of the fun of it. So, yeah, so come out, bring your instruments, bring yourselves, and we'll figure something out. We'll have fun together.
And it gets
creative.
It gets underway at 7 o'clock at Pioneer Park at the Pioneer Park Saloon, so the Palace Saloon. So you can catch up with everybody there, or if you want to just make it for more of the metal improv at the Palace Saloon, you can make it at 8:20. Or if you're going to make a late night of it, you can just make it to the jam. That'd be fun, too. That starts at 9 o'clock at the Civic Center. So all at Pioneer Park, all part of this debut of FebFest here in Fairbanks. And it's through the Fairbanks Concert Association. So fun. Tomorrow night you'll be on Davis Concert Hall stage, too. So, wow. Who arranged that first piece for Serious String Quartet?
Oh, pass the mic to this guy.
Gregory coming up, I see.
Yeah, I did arrange Eleanor Rigby for Serious Quartet. It's Serious Quartet, not Serious String Quartet.
Thank you very much. Because, you know, I would have put string in there for whatever reason, but you're just the Serious Quartet, even though you're all strings. I get it. Because it matters when you're Googling things. Serious Quartet.
Exactly.
We don't want to be too obvious.
Well, and Serious is the name of the quartet, and that refers to the star, the constellation, Sirius, with an S-I-R-I-U-S.
Yes. Nice. Exactly.
We got it now. So you arranged that piece, the Beatles tune, and at first it's not as recognizable as what that tune is. So
yeah,
I really
funny
like
thing,
that.
The funny thing, this first little part is actually a Bartok piece.
Oh, of course, Béla Bartok, one of my
favorites.
Béla
Bartok, but it's really, I mean, when I listen to that piece, you know, I think it's really related. The melody is kind of similar to Eleanor Rigby, you know, so that fit really well together, I thought, when I did that. Yeah,
Béla Bartok, he was one of the first composers to go out and do recordings in the field.
Right.
And that was really amazing to take that into his compositions so he could listen to them later and incorporate those gypsy melodies.
Right. It's and so he did it together with Kodály. They went into the field. Yeah.
And so it's very cool, Gregory, that you took that Béla Bartók piece and took it into something that's in popular now. It's all seamless.
Carrying on.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
It's really carrying
on the tradition.
Right. Carrying on the tradition. And the Sirius Quartet, I know that you have some founding members here, and you have some new members here. Are you a founding member?
No,
member,
I'm not.
Gregory?
I'm like somewhere in the middle, but here is the founding member.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Ron Lawrence. I'm the violist in the group, and I was there at the beginning of the Sirius Quartet, and that was in the early 90s, you know. Grew out of a sort of the downtown scene, which is called the Knitting Factory scene
in
New York City. Yeah, and
in
the 80s, and I was working with a guy named Dave Soldier, who had something called the Dave Soldier Electric String Quartet, and he was kind of a roots – his background was kind of as a roots musician. He wasn't a classically trained violinist, so he was listening to – those kind of – there's a whole – in the 20s and even earlier than that, there were string bands in Memphis that were like a mishmash of white
Dixie
country
Land
music and – well, even before – even before Dixieland, roots music. And he was really into this style of music, and that's how he played the violin. And his string quartet idea was like you have three chick singers, a drummer and the string quartet. So, you know, his arithmetic was a little sketchy, but he had a really great idea. And – he was part of that scene at the Knitting Factory with all these great players who are now kind of famous, like John Zorn and Elliot Sharp. All these people were all like hanging out at this one club that basically had every night somebody would come in and do some kind of project.
Calling it a string quartet was a little misleading in the first place, not even because of the numbers, but because people would typically maybe think of a string quartet as more of a classical ensemble.
Absolutely.
Chamber music.
And that was his, you know, it was his vision of the music he wanted to make. And when that group, as all groups do, exploded at some point, I wanted to keep it going, and I got together with some other people, and over the years the group has evolved into what is, I think, the best version ever of the Sirius Quartet. And you know, each time you change a player, the group's like a collective, and each time you change a player, it changes the character of the whole ensemble. We're all classically trained musicians, but we come from diverse backgrounds.
That may be the trunk of the tree, but you are branching out. That may be some roots of the tree.
It's the world we live in.
Very much so.
The omnivore's delight of YouTube and the digital world we live in, you know? So.
Well, I love it that you're bringing that omnivore's delight to Fairbanks, because people are into all kinds of music here, and they're into blending genres, and it is so fun to see this group here along with Seven Sons and the Silverman Futureman duo too.
We had a lot of fun last night. I think the audience had a lot of fun, and I encourage people to come out tonight to Pioneer Park and bring your personal muse, because you'll have a chance to express yourself in that all-embracing eclectic idea of what music making is.
And if you can't make it out tonight to see Feb Fest, you can get another chance at Davis Concert Hall at 7:30 tomorrow night, or at 3:00 at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. They're there with the Youth Orchestra. So, man, there's so many chances to see these groups in so many different settings and ways. Well, speaking of hearing the group, I really love that rendition of Eleanor Rigby. What do we have next on the docket for Sirius Quartet? Gregory, you've got...
Yeah.
Gregor?
Yeah.
Great. Eat it all. Yeah, I got it. Of course, it's right here, Gregor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we played last night, we played a composition of mine. It's called New World. And I wrote it because the New York Philharmonics had an anniversary of Dvořák's New World Symphony. And they asked composers to do something and quote the second movement of that composition by Dvořák. So I did that, and it was at the time when the election was. That's why it's called New World, November 9th, 2016. That was the day when it was clear that we had a new president. and it was not my favorite one. So I got a little angry then, and I started writing this piece the day after, and I finished it in 1 week, and it's angry, but it's
and
called.
Gregor, yeah. It turns out that it was award winning, though. You put your anger into an award winning piece, right?
That's right. I got the first prize for that from the New York Philharmonics. Yeah,
impressive.
So, yeah, it's called New World, November 9th, 2016.
This is Sirius Quartet here at KUAC's Alaska Live.
Thank you.
Thank you.
took my breath away, that piece that Gregor Huebner, you wrote that. You composed that piece, and I can see why it was award-winning because, wow, it had so many parts to it, and I bet that's not all of it.
Well, I mean,
there's more parts to it that you maybe didn't play here, but...
No, that's actually the piece.
That's it, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it will be part of a bigger string quartet, but that was the piece I wrote for the Philharmonics.
Philharmonic. Yeah. The part where you are playing what almost sounds like electronic beats. How did you achieve that? Because I was watching, and I get it, but we've got a lot of listeners out there that might not know how that was achieved.
Well, like a normal classical player wouldn't do that with their instrument. But I got an endorsement for strings, so I can change them whenever I need to. And I'm beating with the stick of the bow, I beat my fingerboard, and that's going to make this percussion effect.
Yeah, can you do that real quick,
yeah,
just to show us?
And then with the fingers of the left hand, I add other beats, so it's become this whole drum kind of thing.
You turn your violin into a complete percussion instrument that almost has electronic sound to it, which is so interesting to me. I don't think I've ever experienced that before, and that is very cool. You teach composition too,
and that's right. Yeah.
How young of kids are you teaching, and to into adulthood, I'm sure too.
Yeah, I teach master students, so okay. It's like they are older, they done with their bachelors, and they come to me to focus totally on composition. So it's not like young children anymore. Mm-hmm. They already have their own language most of the time.
And so they have kind of their voice, their style, their own language that they come to you with.
Right.
How do you get them past that, saying, gosh, this is, my composition is not good yet. What do I do?
I mean, I'm trying to help them to experience other, a lot of stuff to find, analyze stuff new music, in any kind of music. But also I try to work with them a lot on their own stuff and on their own pieces. And I mean, there's a lot of things you have to consider when you write for an orchestra, for example. And they don't know that because they're not experienced in that. So you have to help them develop their language and also show them how to prepare their language for outside players,
Do you remember that shift in thinking for yourself from composing stuff just for your own solo work to, making a whole composition for the orchestra,
right,
including winds and brass and percussion and all the strings?
Yes, of course. And I developed it in a slow way, kind of. I was never thinking of myself as a composer at that, at the early time, because I was playing. I'm a performer. I play all the time. And I had the advantage of that because I played orchestra, I was sitting in a big band, I had all this experience, and I know as a player what I want to see when it comes to me, I want to have the possibility to get a quick look and know this I can play that fast. And often the parts are so complicated that it takes it takes a lot of time, and there's no time in the real world. And that's the thing you have to prepare the students for, I think.
Mm. So sometimes when you're composing, are you thinking of Sirius Quartet? Do you have them in mind for your compositions?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great thing to have as a composer, an ensemble like this.
Because these guys are good.
And I know exactly everybody's available, everybody's possibility, what they can do, what they play.
Yeah.
And so that's great. I mean, that's really an advantage, I think. Have that.
Well, so great to talk to you, and so wonderful to experience that New World composition that you just shared with us, and kind of how you went about writing it too. It's just amazing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and welcome to Fairbanks and KUAC's Alaska Live too. It's your first time in Fairbanks?
Yes.
Excellent.
And the funny thing, I came from Istanbul, almost.
Oh. Was it warm there?
Which is totally on the opposite side of the world. Yeah, it's warm there.
Yeah. Jeremy, Yeah. No. Do I have the right name this time?
You have the correct name. Yes. Very well. Your pronunciation is fantastic.
Wait till I get to. You're probably cringing when I get to your name. No, I'm kidding. Jeremy, you are self-described freelance cellist, and you know it seems like I see a lot of popular music and rock music using string compositions and chamber musicians. And so have you got in on that wave lately?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I growing up was sort of steeped equally in both the kind of the classical music world and, you know, I kind of grew up on a steady diet of 90s alternative rock and then later kind of heavier, more sort of underground metal and punk and hardcore and stuff like that. And my father was a jazz musician, jazz guitarist, so grew up around jazz a lot. Was not a huge jazz fan as a kid, but later, you know, like kind of my late teens, got pretty heavily into jazz as well and have been, you know, ever since.
Are you learning the improv style of jazz really fits what you're into these days?
For me, with the improvisational thing, I mean, the nice thing about string instruments, I mean, there definitely is a tradition of violin in jazz, albeit, you know, a small one compared to, let's say, like an instrument like saxophone or, you know, trumpet or something like that, piano.
Stefan Grappelli and,
so there definitely is a tradition. But there's also, I mean, there's so much unexplored territory, I think, for the instruments. And, you know, sometimes when I'm improvising, I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to be, well, I don't know if I'm really conscious of it, but I tend to play very differently than when I'm playing classical music. That maybe sounds kind of like an obvious thing, but just in terms of the way that you're phrasing, the way that you attack notes, the way that you use vibrato, it's very different. So I find myself trying more often to imitate, you know, like a sax player or an upright bass player. Definitely when I'm playing, when
probably,
I'm plucking, I'm totally just like a, you know, bass player wannabe, basically.
Because you're the low range, but you're not quite as low as the bass. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And is it just me or are the strings and the string chamber music as backing for popular music getting a renaissance these days? I mean, it seems like every other Saturday Night Live episode, that performer is using some sort of string quartet or whole chamber musicians up there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to see.
I
love it. And especially, you know, I think there was definitely like kind of a reemergence of like a lot of folk music in mainstream and in more like kind of independent circles.
Yeah.
And really great to see the instruments used in like so many different ways. I think I remember watching, it wasn't the most recent Grammys, but maybe like sometime in the last 2 or 3 years. And pretty much every act to perform had strings in the group. Maybe not like as part of the actual core group, but they kind of, you know, bolstered their ranks with string players. I thought that was awesome. And I think I remember going in, I run like a small little elementary school strings program in Boston when I'm not traveling and performing. I remember coming in and talking to my kids the next morning. And they were all really excited because the ones that had watched the Grammys and, you know, I mean, regardless of how you feel about the Grammys, I'm not necessarily like a huge, fan myself, but it's cool to see that in the mainstream setting.
Yeah.
And I think it's great for the instruments and it's great for, you know, in the case of my students, for them to see something like that on such a big stage.
Yeah. If you're like an 8-year-old cello player and you see your instrument up there on stage, that's big time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it makes it relevant for them, you know? They're not just these archaic instruments that, you know, you use just to play Mozart.
Yeah.
As much as I love that too, but, you know, there's a lot that you can do with it. And that's definitely a goal, I think, of, like, I think that's a commonality that all three of these groups share, you know, desire to just branch out and be creative, you know, like all of the great composers were throughout history. We're all mixing things together. That's like, I think that's the nature of creativity.
Yeah, you use what you've heard before as an inspiration to go beyond.
Definitely.
And that's very cool. And so you're composing these days too?
I do a bit of composing myself, yep. Got a few pieces for the group. So,
excellent.
You know, I don't know if I would consider myself really like a legit composer per se, but I do write a lot of music. And for me, you know, growing up playing a lot of guitar, a lot of electric guitar especially, that's kind of how I got into writing music, just coming up with guitar riffs, things like that. And then, you know, later, writing things that are a little more intricate.
That translates to the cello pretty well. Guitar to cello.
It does, actually. Yeah, it does. A lot of the finger patterns are a little different, but I mean, the range of the two instruments are actually really similar.
Cool.
And definitely playing guitar like really informed my cello playing, especially in terms of finding different chord voicings that work on the instrument. A lot of the rhythmic stuff really comes from guitar strumming patterns and things like that.
I liked in that New World piece, all of you got solos, and the cello solo was very intricate and fun, too. And so Gregor did a great job of, you know, writing solos for every one of the strings in that.
He spreads the love.
He does. It's true. What are we going to hear next? Who would like to introduce the next piece?
Should we do – do you want to do Paths or More Than We Are or
– Yeah, do one of those. like 10 more minutes, 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do Paths.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll do a piece of mine.
Great.
In the spirit of spreading the love. And, so this is a piece that I wrote a few years ago for the group. Actually, this is, I guess I'm quite a few years ago now. Time flies, man. So I'm the newest member of the group, but I'm about 9 years in at this point. So,
great.
We had this lineup going for quite a while now. So I wrote this group, I guess, or I wrote this piece right after joining because these guys were encouraging me to write something. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I've got playing in a string quartet that I can write music for. Like kind of like Gregor was saying, it's a really awesome vehicle to have as a composer. And so I wrote this piece, which like I was saying earlier, came directly out of some kind of like guitar riffs that I had been playing around with and some just different rhythmic ideas. That I had. So this piece is very, very much kind of rock or sort of, you know, metal, hard rock influenced. And probably hear maybe some elements of kind of some minimalist classical music as well. Some like kind of rhythmic ideas that you might hear in a piece by like Steve Reich or a composer like that. So we'll get to it.
All right. This is Sirius Quartet on KUAC's Alaska Live.
I introduce this piece. Did I give you the name of this piece? Paths Become Lines. This is the title track from an album that we released a couple years ago, 2016. So. Thank you.
Oh, Sirius Quartet. If you're wanting more, like I'm wanting more, you can get more through FebFest with Fairbanks Concert Association. Man, you guys are good. We'll see you tonight at Party at the Park. Pioneer Park starts at the Palace and moves over the chapel, goes back to the Palace, then it's over to Civic Center. You can find out more about all of the places they'll be at fairbanksconcert.org. Hey, Ron, did you make it to the place where you go to listen yet to see?
Not yet, but I worked with John Luther Adams up here in the 90s, and at that point it was just a gleam in his eye when I was up here, and I'm psyched to go.
He
is a beautiful person, and thank you, Fairbanks, for nurturing his talent and getting him on the road to the awesome success that he is today.
And locals, if you have not taken in that exhibit up at the University of Alaska Museum of the North, the place where you go to listen is a place to go. All right, we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, you bet. We'll see you tonight. And Seven Sons and Tracy Silverman and Future Man are up next during KUAC's Alaska Live. We'll be right back. Seven Sons has made it into the studio. They're going to tune up while I tell you a bit more about Feb Fest. Oh man, Party at the Park tonight is at Pioneer Park, and it starts out at the Jazz Improv at the Palace, moves on to the Chapel, then back at the Palace. Then bring your instruments, anything that you think that you would like, maybe your crayons, your pencils, anything you want to do with jazz and improv and music improv, because Sirius Quartet and Seven Sons and Silverman and Future Man will be there, and you can bring your voice, your instruments, your paints, your palettes, everything to the Civic Park at Pioneer Park tonight at 9. You are tuned to KUAC 89.9 FM Fairbanks. This is Alaska Live. The sounds you hear in the background are those typical sounds of tuning that's going on with Seven Sons, because they're next here on KUAC's Alaska Live. They'll also be doing, it's the big night tomorrow night at Davis Concert Hall. KUAC will be giving away some tickets to that. So if you want to check that out, it's at 7:30 tomorrow night at Davis Concert Hall. All three will be there, and they'll all be jamming on stage at once. Okay. Hey, Earl, would you introduce the band for me? And that's right there at that. Yes.
Okay.
Excellent.
We're Seven Sons. I'm Earl. That's Jenny. That's Chern Hui, and that's Amanda. And I just am pointing, and it's so useless because this is the radio.
It's true.
So those in the room can see me, but hi, audience out there. There's, you know, Jenny, Chern Hui, Amanda, and myself.
And you make up Seven Sons. And what will you be playing to kick off this portion of Alaska Live?
We will be playing a song called Yama, the Buddhist god of death. And, you know.
That's very metal.
On a lovely afternoon.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The folks out there did clear some space for some headbanging because that was a perfect song for it. The band, the string quartet Serious Sons, joins us for the second part, third part of Alaska Live today. Whoa! There was some shredding of bows there in that.
We're looking for horsehair endorsements. Yeah. We don't know if that really exists.
I don't know, but there's going to be need some restringing. What do you call it? Restringing of
rehairing,
bow? Rehairing of a bow. The horsehair. Yeah, right. Earl, it's nice to see you back here. You know, this is not your first time here. Do you recognize your surroundings?
It is not. I absolutely recognize my surroundings. I feel actually a lot of nostalgia right now. I remember everything.
Yeah. You were here with Sweet Plantain, which was just the best chamber music band, too. And not traditional classical music either, but nor was it heavy metal.
No. No, not at all. Very different group. And we, yes, we were here. We Sweet Plantain, for those of you who don't know, Sweet Plantain was a crossover sort of a Latin Latin string quartet that I was like the stunt violin, that I was not like, I was the stunt violinist for. the main violinist actually is also works for Mark Anthony, the famous salsa guy. So he was actually, what happened was he was contractually obligated to play this tour, and Sweet Plantain had been booked also, and so it was a little bit of a conflict of interest. So they hired me to be sort of the stunt violinist. So I am here with a lot of fond memories, and yeah. You know, it was very, very cool.
How'd you end up now as part of a heavy metal influenced string quartet? Where did that come from?
So it comes from two sort of disparate parts of my life when growing up. So I grew up in a working class Italian Irish neighborhood where there was most of the kids were like really into like hardcore punk and heavy metal. That was really the scene there in the neighborhood that I grew up in. So I would spend sort of like, you know, like Friday nights and like whatever, going to all ages shows, like in VFW halls and like church basements and like that kind of a scene. And I'm 42, and that was like the time when New York hardcore was like kind of like, you know, really, really coming up, like 1988, 1989, sick of it all, you know, like 1990.
Your parents were just kind of letting you go on the subway and go to these shows.
They had no idea.
Oh.
Sorry, Mom.
Of course.
Hi, Mom.
That's what we all did when we were kids.
Yeah. No, they had no idea. I would say I was sleeping over a friend's house or something, and then we'd like take the subway to CB's or L'Amour or like Coney Island High, or like there's these like clubs at the time, the Continental, that like we would go to, you know, like, and then, you know, like, so, you know, CB's would have all ages shows, but also, like I said, church basements and like VFW halls, where like it was a DIY, like local bands put on your own show kind of a thing. But then I was also playing violin in I was going to, you know, music school.
Yeah,
you know,
Youth Symphony and
Youth
such.
Symphony, New York Youth Symphony and stuff. And so it was this kind of like schizophrenic thing where I would show up, you know, on Saturday morning would be all day music class kind of a thing. And it was a very different, you know, sort of rarefied. You know, there's other class conversations that maybe don't really need to happen here, but it's definitely a divide. So
it's so cool that you're going to be with the Youth Symphony too.
Yeah, super cool.
On Sunday at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship there, and that's really neat that all the guest artists from Feb Fest will be there with the Youth Symphony, and you're all going to play together. And
super exciting
potluck, and it's the Great Hang. That's what that one's called, and it's at 3:00.
I think other people, I want other people to chime in on this too, but yeah. What I'll say is I'm super excited about it because when I was a kid, like I was saying, it was disparate. Like you played the violin, you played the viola or cello, it was not cool to know of other styles or to even like think of anything besides Bach, to like Bartok, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, and so now that we're going to be in front of, you know, like all three groups represent an amazing array of stylistic, you know, deviations from the norm, and that we're going to be around kids and kind of like having an exchange, yeah. I find super exciting.
And I bet they are excited too. I tell you, you know, that's a fun thing to have world-class musicians here in Fairbanks and inspiring our generations of folks here. Really cool. Chern Wei, you were here for Sirius Quartet, and you are also part of Seven Sons. So yeah. Are your arms tired yet?
Not just yet, but uh-huh. It will be very, very soon after this next piece. Yeah.
Oh, man. You're fine. If you want that on or off, doesn't matter.
Sorry.
I grew up listening to symphony music and classical mm-hmm. music and going to the symphony with my family. But then once I got to college, I started listening to things like Tool and by choice and Rage Against the Machine by mm-hmm. choice. And I had some friends who were turning me on to things like Napalm Death and nice. Carcass. And I mean, I have to tell you that, you know, things started broadening my horizons. Mm-hmm. So how did you get turned on to metal music? Because I bet you maybe started out in symphony.
Metal, I've always been very interested in all kinds of music. Even since I was a kid, I would pick up the violin and imitate electric guitar sounds.
And this is in Malaysia.
It's in Malaysia, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. So I grew up there, you know, listening to all kinds of music. I was never like the good kid, you know, just doing whatever homework assigned to me. I would branch out and listen to other stuff and play around on my instrument. And that's how I started playing all kinds of different styles. The only thing I did not realize was I could make a living out of this.
Winning. Now you are.
Yeah.
Here you are traveling the world.
Yeah. So that was the beginning of me doing something different. And by the time I was in high school, I had a bunch of friends who were really into heavier music. I wouldn't say very, very heavy music, but they're really into things like Metallica and stuff
sure.
like that. That's how I started listening to metal. But I wasn't really deep into it. Actually, not until very recently after I joined. Seven Sons. So Earl and also Jeremy from Sirius Quartet, they hit me up to a lot of really amazing heavy music.
Well, when you play with Seven Sons, you've got the hardcore stance down. One foot in front of the other, the power stance.
I don't want to fall down.
Well, what song is next that you're not going to fall down to, but you're going to really rock?
Concubine.
All right.
It's a cover of the band Converge and arranged by Earl.
All right. This is Seven Sons on KUAC's Alaska Live. Oh my, that was really worth some headbanging there, letting your hair down and going. That was a song arranged by you, Earl, and it was called Converge.
It was the band is Converge.
No, the band is Converge. The song was Concubine.
Yeah, Concubine.
You. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
First tune off of Jane Doe, which is in that genre pretty seminal. Like it's a classic hardcore album.
Jennifer, you're the cellist here, and how did you get involved in the darker world of string quartets?
Honestly, I started to date Earl, and then we have gotten married and had a child since. But so one part of the story is that Earl had a band where he was playing electric violin called Resolution 15, and he started to arrange the songs for string quartet. I don't actually remember why, but we started playing them together and thought it was more interesting, instead of having the violin sound like a guitar, to have them sound like acoustic instruments just pushed to their limits.
Wow. So you played cello in that.
I wasn't in the other group. That was just sort of how the origins of Seven Sons. We were already together as a couple. I was given a lot of information about metal. It's not something I listened to a lot as a child. I also was like, I listened to AC/DC and Kiss and stuff. But I've learned a lot since. And now things that I thought sort of sounded like my mom, he would play it for my mom too. He'd say, "What do you think of this?" And she'd say, "Kind of sounds like white noise." Like, that kind of thing. And now I'm like, oh, I know who that is and what they, I can hear it. I hear it.
You're into it now.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here in Fairbanks with the Feb Fest and as part of Seven Sons. You really rock that lower range, and boy, you need that for a metal group too.
Thank you. It's really fun for me to, I do feel like I'm a pretty important person in this group. So.
Yes, indeed. The lower range, holding it down there. Amanda, can you get all the way over there to that microphone? I know it's a little trek across the studio. Were you one of those kids that was with the Suzuki method, you're laying on your back and practicing?
I started Suzuki. It was not my most favorite experience. I don't know if any of you guys went to Suzuki camp. Did you do that?
You did
the Suzuki? So in my Suzuki camp, I have this very vivid memory of the end of the day. You'd go and you'd study with your teachers, you'd do your chamber music, and then towards the end of it, everybody would get in these rows by age. Do you remember this?
That's right.
And you'd stay standing and you'd start from the beginning of book one and you'd just start playing. You'd go to the next song by memory. And when you didn't know a piece, you sat down. And it was like a point of pride if you were, the only one in your row still standing and all the older kids behind you were shedding away and you were there too. But that kind of competition was really formative until I broke out of classical music.
How did you find Seven Sons?
Same Res 15 kind of connection. Yeah. Earl was looking for a violinist, a second violinist, to play on a seven string.
Right.
And myself and a gal named Patty, who's an amazing violinist, we were both auditioning. And Patty sometimes sits in with us and was actually one of the original members of Seven Sons.
Yeah.
So that's how I got involved.
What are you looking forward to most about some of your gigs that are here in Fairbanks?
I think the youth concert is going to be really interesting. Like you were saying, it's nice to kind of bring it back to the youth orchestra connection. I think all of us have such formative memories from youth orchestra. And to invite them into our world a little bit and hopefully impart some of the knowledge that we've had since diverting from classical music into other genres.
That one's at 3:00 at the Unitarian Universalist Church on Sunday at 3:00. You can find out more about all of this at fairbanksconcert.org. Well, what is the finale for Seven Sons here?
Yeah. So, we're going to close with a song called Trevisia, which is Sanskrit for the three poisons. And
dark.
It's all sunshine with this group, let me tell you. So I wrote this after we all volunteered. I have a meditation teacher, and And so we volunteered at Rikers Island Correctional Facility in New York City. And the group, we all went to these sort of for about a year. We were doing regular visits, semi-regular visits, because the bureaucracy was interesting, but that's a longer conversation. So for about a year, we were volunteering at Rikers, doing meditation with the guards and the inmates, and just kind of like being present for everybody involved.
That's so important.
Yes. And Treviso's are the three poisons, attachment, greed, and hatred. And those are the things that any one of us, you, me, anybody here, could, if we, you know, succumbing to that could absolutely lead you into a place like Rikers. So I had written that as a reflection on our time spent in the facility. So needless to say, it's not, shouldn't really go out to all the ladies. This is a, you know, this is a...
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Seven Sons is here as part of FebFest on KUAC's Alaska Live.
Thank you.
I want more. You want more. You can have more of this at the big night tomorrow night at Davis Concert Hall at 7:30, or tonight at Pioneer Park, or Sunday at the Unitarian Universalist Church with the Feb Fest. That was Seven Sons. They're amazing. Wow. Thanks for coming in to Alaska Live.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Right on. We've got Don't Go Anywhere. We've got Silverman, Future Men next here on KUAC's Alaska Live. In the meantime, we will listen to some Zap String Quartet while we set up for Future Man and String Man. Future Man and Silver Man, they're up next. We were listening to during soundcheck here at KUAC was the Zap String Quartet, and that was Sarabah. Oh, you are in for a third treat during Alaska Live today. The studio has been taken over by Future Man and Silver Man, and this is so fun. This is improvisation at its best here at the KUAC Alaska Live studios. Tracy Silverman, you're closest to the microphone there.
Yeah.
And welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We are so thrilled to be here in Fairbanks. This is my first time here. And I know Future's been here a few times.
Yeah.
With the Flecktones.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're enjoying it. We're, get a chance to... get the long johns on, stuff like that. We don't get to do in Nashville very frequently. So.
You'll bring the warmth, and you'll be jamming with the people tonight at Party at the Park.
Yeah, it is going to be a party. It's going to be a jam fest.
Yeah, is this tonight where people get to bring their instruments?
Yes,
too?
It is. Yes,
yeah, you bring your toys, and we all mixed it up together. So
So if you got like kazoos and. Stuff like that. But whatever you play, just bring it.
It's a festival.
And you can also bring art supplies, and you can create art, and you can dance.
Really?
And
Dance and shoes.
And you can create art during the creative process.
Multimedia, multidisciplinary.
Yeah. So
excellent.
So you'll have that inspiration by hearing you guys at the Palace Saloon and at the Chapel, and then back at the Palace Saloon. Then at the Pioneer Park Civic Center will be the big community jam part. So fun. And I know, right? And then tomorrow night you're going to be at Davis Concert Hall at 7:30. And so lots of music and improv to be had by all.
Yes, indeed.
What are we starting off with here, Tracy?
Well, why don't we just start off with some improv?
All right.
We're going to give you a sample of, how we're going to make some stuff up tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here we are with Silverman and Future Man on KUAC's Alaska Live, and can't wait to see what they come up with.
Don't you say? Yeah. Here it comes.
Thank you.
an improvised musical journey just world. For you, KUAC listeners.
World premiere.
That was a world premiere.
That's what that was.
That was nice. I like the active level of 9, I think. You know, that's the highest it can go. Silverman and Future Man are here for KUAC's Alaska Live. And the reason why I say that that was novel, that was just for you, you'll never hear that again in that order. Those notes played in that order is because that was improvised here just on the...
Because, you know, that's the way that's like life, you know? Stuff happens and then it moves on, you know? Yeah. It's hard to come back.
Speaking of life, if you were to tell my 20-something-year-old self who was convinced by my friends to go see this, I don't know, they said, I don't know, it's Bela Fleck. He plays banjo. We think it's kind of bluegrass. We're going to go see Bela Fleck and the Flecktones at this festival. And I said, all right, sign me up. So, you know, we road tripped the hour and a half it took to get down there, and we buy our tickets. And Bela Fleck and the Flecktones included you, Future Man.
Yes.
And it was not exactly bluegrass, I have to say.
Not exactly.
But boy, did it open my mind to a whole new genre of music. I didn't know I liked jazz until that night.
Well, it's a very interesting, you know, when I met Bela, he was trying to get far away from bluegrass, you know, because he really wanted to dig into jazz and, you know, go this direction where Chick Corea and Mahavishnu Orchestra. But, you know, whenever we would play, all the bluegrass people would be there and they would be happy, you know. It's something about the banjo rolling.
Yeah.
Right.
Where it's rolling, you know, they got their fix in there. Yeah. So we were able to just stretch the silly putty really wide, and a lot of people came along for the ride, and you know, it's been a good journey. It's a hero's journey, you know.
And listeners, if you're wondering how in a mere 10 minutes we moved in electric guitar, an electric fiddle, a whole drum kit into the studios, well, we didn't exactly do that. Through the magic of Future Man, he has invented this thing called a drumitar. And the first time I ever saw it was that night with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Yeah. And it was magical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. You know, that was an experiment that I was doing because I was just, you know, really into the drums and, you know, grew up listening to all these great drummers, Buddy Rich, Tony Williams, Max Roach, Elvin Jones. And, you know, and I just found a way to start experimenting with my fingers. And I was like, man, if I can, you know, hit the drums with my fingers the same way I hit with sticks, it'll be another form of hand drumming, but with the sense of sticks.
Yeah. Like electric guitar.
Yeah, I'm using my fingers.
And there you are with your fingers, and it's amazing.
Yeah, so for people who are not looking, you know, I'm just using my fingers to hit all of these sounds in front of me, tapping on a very sensitive, you know, neck. And there's all these pads that are like miniature drums, and I'm using my fingers like drumsticks. Yeah.
It really blew our minds because this was before Google. You know, we couldn't just see you guys on YouTube. We had to go and experience it live in person. And it was really amazing to see that because we just didn't know. And so to be able to experience that without knowing was really cool.
Yeah, you know, and I have to give it to Bela, you know, for taking a chance on something so unknown, and for the people, you know, to just be able to close their eyes and listen to the music and take the journey. So many years later, working with the drumitar, now, like right now, I'm playing this Zen drum instrument. I think this is the Zen drum EXP. And they call it EXP for Jimi Hendrix Experience. Because when they showed me the Zen drum, I picked it up like this, like I'm playing now, and it's upside down.
Oh.
You don't actually play it like this. You're supposed to play it like that, but they didn't tell me. I just picked it up like that because that was right for me, and now they make one upside down. So the experience is something that anybody can, you know, jump into and check it out, you know, zendrum.com, and we're having fun. You know, what's cool about the journey is, you know, like when I got a chance to, you know, so many years later meet Tracy, I'm looking at Tracy and he's got this unusual looking fiddle. I'm like, wait a minute, now he's making up stuff too.
So it's like he's out there on a limb. Two necks, two heads on it. It's a weird looking
machine
too, Tracy.
What's going on here with this thing, you know? It's got high strings, low strings that shouldn't get that low.
It's got two necks and two heads. Yeah, it's stocks. It's crazy.
Well, really, I mean,
The only thing that really makes it significantly different from other electric violins is that it has six strings. Violins have the... And this has got one of these, like a viola, and then it's got one of these, a low F string. Which, for those of you out there in the listening public who have perfect pitch, it's not an F, it's an E. Oh. And that's because I got it tuned down a half step right now. So it's actually E flat, A flat, D flat, G flat, C flat, and E, or B and E. Yeah. But... But yeah, and you know, and we just, Future and I just kind of, you know, one of the nice things about this duo that we've been doing for a number of years is the freedom that it gives us. Because, you know, I spent many years in a string quartet, actually, with the Turtle Island String Quartet, and Future's in the, you know, Flectones. And when you got a bunch of people on stage, you know, you have to arrange everything. Otherwise, it's chaos, you know. But when there's just two of us and only one of us is playing pitches, there's a lot of freedom. So I can, like in that last little improv that we were doing, you know, I'm jumping around to different keys. I'm doing this, that, you know, and we're following each other into different grooves. We're, you know, I was like inspired by Seven Sons doing a little, you know, getting a little heavy metal. And then we're zoning out with the Aurora Borealis, you know, and we just go anywhere we want to in the space of 5 minutes. And that's really one of the things that I love about this combination that we do. And, you know, we like to play a lot of different kinds of music. And, you know, one of the things is, you know, we feel like we're better musicians when we know and love a lot of different kinds of music. Just like
That's
we're
so
better,
true.
Like we're better people when we know and love a lot of different kind of people.
Yeah.
So that's important to us.
Crossing some cultural boundaries that shouldn't even be boundaries. It's
exactly.
Just open
They're
roads.
Not. They're
yeah.
not unless you make them boundaries.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear more of that. Crossing over.
Really?
Yeah. Something different.
Really?
You know, yeah.
You know, and we don't have the wave.
Okay. Yeah, right. But see, Future's got this wave drum that he uses, and he gets all this like surf sounds and cool stuff. And
you're okay. gonna be able to hear that tomorrow night at Davis Concert Hall. You're gonna leave him wanting that.
Yeah, we can do that
there.
Yeah, let's do that there because we don't have everything here in the
That's
studio.
Right.
But maybe we'll do this this Matisse.
Oh,
let's do that.
Excellent.
So we have this piece that we do, which is called Matisse La Danse, and is inspired by the painting by Henri Matisse called La Danse. And it's that famous painting of the five figures, the sort of orange figures on a blue and green background, and they're holding hands in a circle, and they're you know dancing in a circle, spinning around. And we were inspired by looking at that. It's obvious that they're dancing to some music of some kind, and it seems like an improvised dance. So we just started sort of improvising music about, and what we came up with was this idea of layering the dancers in one at a time, so that we kind of introduced you to each dancer. And what we do, I have a loop pedal here that I use. It's on my pedal board on the floor here in the studio. And each dancer has a distinct musical personality. So, like, the first one is this kind of like a, you know, kind of dancing around with that. And then there's one that's jumping up and down like this and just, and then there's like a heavy metal guy comes in and then like the classical violin player steps in and then we got the bass player and pretty soon we get all five of them dancing together and then we jam on top of that. It's kind of like jumping into the middle of this circle and doing our happy dance. So we're going to give you a little bit of that. Thank you.
waves of beauty just were washing over the studio and the airwaves. That was gorgeous. You said that was Matisse.
Yes.
And you composed that and...
Yes, that's actually the second movement of my second violin concerto, which it's called Between the Kiss and the Chaos. And it's something Fuchi and I have been doing together for many years as a duo like this. And it's on our new recording, which is just out. In fact, it's at you can find it at, you know, CD Baby and iTunes and all that kind of stuff. It should be up on Spotify about now. I just uploaded it a few days ago.
And if you want them to sign it, you can be at one of those shows.
Exactly.
What's this new one called?
It's called Live at the Matthews Opera House. And it's a full evening that we recorded there back a couple years ago. And Matthews Opera House in Spearfish, South Dakota. Wonderful place.
This has been an amazing preview of what's to come for the Feb Fest here in Fairbanks, part of the Fairbanks Concert Association season. They've put together this brand new thing, and you can go party at the park with all these folks tonight. It gets kicking around at 7 at the Palace. And then tomorrow night at the Great Hall, that's the big night. You'll all be on stage, and that's going to be amazing. That's at 7:30 here at Davis Concert Hall.
Yeah, and we're also working with some kids from the Youth Orchestra. We're going to spend about 3 hours with them tomorrow rehearsing some stuff and putting something together. And, you know, we love working with kids. We were over at middle school today working with kids over there and teaching them about rhythm and this thing called strumboing that I do and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, we're going to be playing with the kids on Sunday.
It's at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and that's called The Great Hang. And it's a potluck, so bring a dish.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Future Man and Silver Man, it has been an awesome conclusion to today's Alaska Live. Performance today is next here on KUAC 89.9 FM Fairbanks. Thanks, you guys, for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Support for the Alaska Live series of live music and conversation on KUAC is made possible by a grant from Design Alaska. Design Alaska, strengthening the community through support of the arts.